I wanted to minister to you tonight, and I listened to the message this morning, and Pastor Dan sort of stole my message. We hadn't communicated, so I'm going to boldly call this part two. But his message, if you did not hear it this morning, it was amazing. It started out talking about the birth of Jesus, but somehow ignited us with faith. Amen? And so it's that shot of faith you need, especially for this season. Always, but especially in this season, when sometimes we can be tempted to feel like, oh, we don't have enough for this, we don't have enough for that. God exhorts us to not put limits on him, and to ask big and think big and allow him to meet our needs. Amen? So the name of this message is Finding Faith. Finding Faith. And in Luke 18, it's interesting, Jesus tells a parable here, and it's about the unjust judge. And our God, he makes a parallel to God the Father. Our God is not an unjust judge. He is a just judge. But his point was that if an unjust judge will do these things, how much more will your heavenly Father do? And so I want to cap on the last portion of the parable, because there's an interesting question that weeks ago I was just doing some study, and it set off something in me. So when it was my turn to, or I was asked to minister tonight, I still had that in my heart that I wanted to study that out and speak about it. So in Luke 18, the last part of verse 7 and into verse 8, in the New Living Translation, it says, "So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night?" Amen. He will give us justice. "Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly." He's not the unjust judge. He's not putting us off. He's going to grant justice to us quickly. "But when the Son of Man returns," and Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man, "but when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith?" That's in the New Living Translation. In the New King James, it says, "And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" This was sort of a rhetorical question that Jesus was asking. He didn't expect a yes or no answer. He was challenging them. When he returns, will there be faith on the earth? I believe that's talking about, will there be those of the faith, you know, with times of intense persecution? Sometimes people deny Christ. That's a reality. But we're not going to be those people. Amen? Christians in other parts of the world right now, their lives are on the line when they get water baptized. Their lives are on the line when they boldly speak out for Jesus, when they even attend church. So we don't know exactly what we may go through before Jesus returns. So we have to set it in our hearts that we will be those people of faith that Jesus returns for. But I think that he's also talking about, will we be a people that are actively using our faith? And so I think there's a two-pronged understanding here. And I don't want to meddle too much tonight, but I am sort of famous for that, so I probably will. But I'm just a little bit, what's the word that sounds more lovely than I want to say? Just a little bit, I would say irritated, but I'm still walking in love, I'm still nice, with whiny Christians. I don't know. If that hits you and you're saying ouch and oh me and all that, I'm gonna minister some hope to you tonight. That you can go from whiny Christian, you know, why has God never answered my prayer, to a bold, victorious Christian. Because he's returning for the faithful, He's returning for those of us that are in faith, that are the believers, but he's also returning for those who are actively using their faith and are interdependent in their relationship with God. Let me break this down a little bit. It has to do, really, we have to get into the classic definition of faith to really understand where I'm going tonight. So I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Mark 11. If you have a Bible app, you can go there also, the New King James Version. But in Mark 11, 23 and 24, it says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea," that's a pretty impossible situation, wouldn't you say? Can we all agree? I don't know that he's so interested in us throwing mountains around. But he wants us to see that this will work on something that seems totally impossible. We put limits on God, but he is unlimited. Do you hear me? "Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart," there we go, "does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask for when you pray," again, Pastor Dan quoted this morning, because this helps us understand the nature of faith. It's different than hope. Hope is that desire. Hope is that blueprint. Hope is that expectation. But faith goes beyond that. So listen up. "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them." You got to lock and load when you pray. "Believe that you receive them when you pray, and you'll have them." Now, when you pray and when you have them, there may be a distance of time. But the believing has to happen when you pray. Otherwise, it's just hoping. I hope this happens. I desire for this to happen. And that's good. It needs to start there. There should be desires always in your heart and in your life, things that you hope for and you want God to do in your life and in your family. That's a part of just your makeup as a human. Hopefully, if you're healthy, that there would be desires and goals and visions that you want for your life and your family and your community. But to receive from God, you have to believe you receive when you pray. There has to be faith released when you pray. I tell people, you ought to do the hallelujah dance when you pray, and then you'll have it. And so, breaking this down a little bit, Brother Hagin used to quote Smith Wigglesworth, which was a mighty man of God during the turn of the 20th century, and he said, "Faith is an act." He used to say, "Faith is an act." We know that in James 2:20 that it says, "Faith without works is dead." It's not really faith. It's just, I don't know, sending up some hot air. But it's not faith unless there is corresponding actions. If you really believe that you receive the answer to your prayer, when you pray, you'll act like it. The proof of the pudding's in the eating. If you really believe that you receive when you pray, then it's something you allow the Holy Spirit to do in your heart. You have it, and you're excited about it, and you know that you're going to receive it because you've already received it at that time of prayer. Are you with me? Now, I don't mean to sound ugly or mean, but many times I can locate where someone's at and not judging, but they're just, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, their mouth speaks. They'll say, "Well, I know God's going to heal me," talking about their healing. And I get it, that there's that part of it manifesting and you actually experiencing the healing and the cancer gone or the bone healed or whatever it is. But as long as you're expressing your hope, I know God's going to heal me, then it's like a carrot in front of the donkey. It's still out here. It's still out here. Are you with me? I'm not trying to be harsh about this, but there's some things we have to do with our flesh to really walk in a place of faith and interdependence with our Heavenly Father. And if we want to receive answers to our prayer, we have to get a little bit tough on ourselves. Are you with me? It takes doing some things. If you believe that you've received when you pray, and that's something that you've spent time in the presence of God, you've gotten the word of God in there, and you actually really believe that the promise of God is true for you, then you will act like it, and what you say out of your mouth will line up with that. And don't get me wrong. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me back up and let me explore this a little bit more, and then I'll get into something else. But Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things for, the evidence of things not seen." Dr. Frederick K.C. Price said that faith has a heavenly materiality to it. Are you with me? It has substance in the kingdom. It's the substance of that which you hope for. There's the hope, and it starts with that and your desire. But then faith, there's a substance there that in cooperation with the power of God brings it to pass. And this is what I started to say a minute ago. This is God and sons, God and daughters. We walk in a cooperative relationship with Him. He's given us a free will to choose to believe Him. Are you with me? That free will is so precious to the Father. He created us godlike. He created us in His image. He put the capacity to believe or stand in faith or receive because He's a God of faith. He believes in us actually more than He really should, to be honest. But He's given us a free will so that we will choose to serve Him, choose to love Him, and even at the risk of us going to hell. That's how much He values our free will. Are you with me? And when people are oppressed or possessed, that's where the enemy gets in there and affects their will. So they're dominated and controlled by the demonic. But when you've been free, and I'll put in a healthy plug for breaking free, when you've been set free, you might even be born again, but when you've been set free in areas of your personality and your soul area, then you are free indeed. And out of a pure, the whole volition of your strength, you choose to serve God. There's nothing that controls you. See, that's what's so horrible about addictions. Oh boy, I'm meddling here. That's what's so horrible about addictions. Your will is affected. You can't just freely serve God as much as you want to because you've got this hook in you that tells you you've got to do this and you've got to do that. And there's not a freedom to just freely do what you want to do in serving God. Are you with me? Oh man, I'm giving you a lot of free stuff tonight. But faith is the very substance of that which we hope for. So how do we get more faith? Well, the Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One man of God said faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. And I'll tell you, you'll get it the most by hearing it out of your own mouth. When you say what God says above your situation, you say what God says above your very feelings if you're experiencing pain, when you say what God says and you choose to believe God, then that substance, that faith, goes to work in your body, goes to work in your situation. And you can't see it with these eyes, but you see it through the eyes of faith. And you spend time in His Word, and you find the promises of God. And when you haven't, you've only found a few, you find a few more. And you build your faith up. You hear it out of your mouth. You say what God says about your situation over what you're actually feeling and experiencing it. Are you with me? And we have to look at this, and we have to get kind of brutally honest with ourselves. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus is our high priest. And the Bible says that He is easily touched with the feelings of our weaknesses. He's sympathetic with our situation, whatever we're going through. And it says many times through the life of Jesus, as you study the Word, that He was moved with compassion. Not just sympathy that says, oh, I'm so sorry, you're feeling bad. But He was moved with compassion and healed, moved with compassion and delivered. So don't get confused here. He's easily touched with the feelings of your plight, of your pain, of your suffering. But see, that's why He came. Are you with me? That's why He came. He literally took your sins, your sicknesses, everything, every pain you may be suffering right now, He took in His body on the cross and bore it so that we wouldn't have to. That's why we can say, with Jesus' stripes, I am healed. I like to tell people the same stripes that saved you, healed you. How do you know you're going to heaven? Anybody seen heaven? Maybe some of you had a vision and you've actually gone to heaven. We want to talk to you afterwards and ask some details. But we believe that by faith. How do we know we're going to heaven? I don't know. I just know. I know. Because I know down to my knower. I know that I know that I know. And that is the resolve we have to get about these things that God has promised us. Amen? How do you know you're healed? I know I'm healed because Jesus said I'm healed. He said He bore my pain. He bore my suffering in His body so that I wouldn't have to. And as we get these truths down in our heart, then faith rises, and there's that substance that we need to receive the answer to our prayer. Now, I'm not judging anybody, but I want you to know that if you stay in that place of, oh God, You understand what I'm going through. You get it, you love me. And we kind of wallow in that. And let me really, really meddle right now. There's a part of your flesh that so wants to wallow in that, oh, woe is me stuff. Are you with me? I've been there, the chiefest of sinners in that area, I have to say. Oh, I want a pity party so bad, but nobody will come to my party. God understands what you're feeling. He understands what you're going through. He's easily touched. He was tempted in every point, just like you are. He gets you. He gets it. But that's why He did something about your situation. And you can't stay there. And if you stay there, there is no help for you. If you stay there, there's no hope for you. If you stay there, you won't receive the promise. Are you with me? I don't want this to sound harsh. I don't want this to sound cold. But I want you to realize that He has provided all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has provided everything, everything for you. It's just we got to be a little less lazy and find out what He says about our situation and choose to believe it over what we see with these eyes. Are you with me? It's called seeing through the eyes of faith, and we've all got to get better at it. We've all got to get better at it. Are you with me? I have no idea where I'm at in my notes. Referring back to Luke 18 that we read at the beginning, It says, "And shall God not avenge his own, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them?" You know, you think of the children of Israel and how they wandered and complained in the wilderness when they were being fed every day with heavenly manna, and he had delivered them from 400 years of bondage under Egyptian slavery. You know, all that God did for them, he continued to show miracle after miracle, and yet the minute their needs weren't met, they would whine and complain. It says here, "He will avenge us. He will avenge us, even though he bears long with us." And so there's a long suffering that God has toward us, and he loves us. But don't we want to be those people of faith that please our Father? In Luke 8, verse 23 and 25, it says, "But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake," talking about Jesus, "and they were filling with water and in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Master, we are perishing.'" Sorry. "Master, we are perishing." "Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, 'Where is your faith?'" So there's times that even though Jesus was compassionate and long-suffering, and our Father is compassionate and long-suffering, and he taught his disciples and was very patient with them, there were times that he rebuked them. And we see that here. And I feel like in Luke 18, where our opening text, he was doing that a bit too. "Will I find faith when I return?" And so he was saying to them, "Okay, I'm going to take care of the storm. You're not going to die." You know, they were scared. They were like, "Don't you realize we're dying? God's in the boat, and they're going to die." But he says, he stills the storm. He takes care of the situation. But then he says, "Where is your faith? Have I not taught you anything?" I feel like that's what he's saying here. That sounds like, when he returns, will he find faith? I think there was a kind of a show and tell when he was talking to his disciples. Where is your faith? And I think that he asks us, he is asking us that tonight. Where is our faith? Not to put us down, but to shake us up a little bit and to see that he has provided everything for us, and now he's told us we need to believe his word. We need to receive what he has for us and to walk and become men and women of faith. Amen? You know, when Jesus walked with them, and you know, the by this time maybe it had been a couple years or at least a year, I'm not sure. He was taking care of every situation for them, but then he starts to challenge them to take authority. And that's what I was referring to a few minutes ago. It's God and sons, God and daughters. He is cooperating with us, or he wants us to cooperate with him. And so much of what God wants to do in our lives is actually dependent upon us. He's already said he wants to do amazing things, more than we could dare even ask or think. But the challenge is, will we believe him for these things? And will we cooperate with what he wants to do by giving him our faith? Are you with me? I'm sorry, there's a verse I really wanted to use. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So he loves us, and we love him. We love God. If you didn't love God, you wouldn't be here tonight. Even if you're a visitor, something in you dared to darken the steps of a church. So we got your number. But anyway, We love him, but we need to have a desire to please him. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. So instead of just, oh God, I know you love me, I know you understand, that's good, and certainly he does. What will please him is when he sees his son or his daughter rise up in faith and want to believe that what he says is true and walk a different life with him. And so we can hold hands with him. We can literally walk with him. This is the verse I wanted to read a few moments ago. 2 Corinthians 6:16 is actually one of my favorite verses. It says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God." Turn to your neighbor, and I haven't done this in a while, but just turn to your neighbor and say, "You are the temple of the living God. Where you go, God goes." You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, "I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." He wants to walk with us. He wants to have an interdependent relationship with us where he leads us to do something and we say yes. And in obedience, we live a life that displays his goodness, that shows the answered prayer, that shows that he is meeting our needs in a supernatural way, that we have a different kind of life. Amen? And probably you're all doing that. You all look so sweet out there, just like, yeah, got this down, Pastor Sue. So I'm just preaching myself right now. But he wants to return for a church that's glorious, that's beautiful, that's believing him and doing exploits and seeing and thwarting the kingdom of darkness and pushing back any hosts of hell that are working. Amen? Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I give you authority." And see, this is what he was trying to get across to the disciples. And this is what he's trying to get across to us tonight. He said, "I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." When the storm was overtaking that boat that night and it was filling up with water, he didn't want them to wake him up. He was taking a nap. He was tired. He'd been feeding the multitudes and doing all kinds of stuff. What he really wanted was for them to remember some of the sermons he'd preached to them and rebuke the winds and the waves in his name, like he gave them his name, and calm the storm themselves. And then later when he woke up naturally, they would have said, "Man, Master, you were asleep because you definitely walk in faith. But we took authority over this storm. Isn't that cool?" And he would have gone, "Man, that's so cool. You guys are getting it." But that wasn't the case, right? And I love God because he records these things for us. He doesn't hide anything. And certainly we've all been there where God, we run in 50 different directions. We call everyone on our contact list to pray, and certainly there's nothing wrong with that. But he's telling us that he's given us authority, that he wants us to cooperate with him, to use his name. He says, "I give you my name." In the name of Jesus, we can take authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. We can take authority in the name of Jesus and see the salvation of God on the scene because he is the head, we're the body, and we're cooperating with him, and we're walking with him, and we're doing the works that he did. Are you with me? God is good. God is good. God is good. So, what am I saying tonight? How can we develop this kind of tenacious faith? Number one, I've already mentioned it, but we need to find what God says about our situation. The Word of God has something to say about every aspect of your life. And the Holy Spirit is your teacher. Oh my gosh, there's concordances, there's all kinds of means. You know, you can Google things, it'll give you the verse. There's so much resource in this day and age. I remember my early days studying the Word of God. I had John Strong and E.W. Vine and this reference book and that. All, I called it Partying with Jesus, and there I would be on Saturday afternoon with all these big, thick books on my bed. But now you just, you know, there's an app for that, you know. And so we are without excuse. And he's called us to live in this hour. So even though it's horrible out there, don't watch the news, trust me. I mean, if you have been, you don't need to. He'll show you what you can watch just enough to know how to pray. But anyway, the Holy Spirit will lead you, and you can find what God's word says about your situation. I know that we say that a lot around here, but we say it because there's no other way. There's no other way outside of his word. This is his life manual for you to live by. And if it seems too lofty, if you're reading it, and you know, maybe you didn't even graduate from high school, or you don't feel like you have good comprehension skills, there's other translations. We use New Living Translation a lot around here because it's worded a little simpler, but it's still in essence correct in its meaning. But find what God's word says about your situation, and then spend time meditating in the word to get it down in your heart. Write it on post-it notes. Put it on your car dash. Wherever you're at, if you're getting ready for work in the morning, and that's when your thoughts can go to negativity and you can be tempted, have a scripture right there, a promise that God gives to you about your situation, because the course of this world goes opposite to that. And so I shared many, many months ago about we're like salmon swimming upstream, and we have to work overtime to fight the negativity and the doubt and the unbelief that surrounds us and creeps into everywhere we look and every device we're on. And we have to shut those things off, hear the voice of the Lord through his word, and find out what he is saying about our situation, because this alone is true. This alone is eternal. This alone will change your situation, because from this comes the substance for the thing you hope for to bring it to pass. Are you with me? So side in with God's word. Find out what he says about your situation. Number two, decide you're going to get in faith about your situation. I made this a separate point because you actually have to make an intentional decision that you're going to choose to believe God's word over what you're experiencing, maybe in your body, maybe in your family, maybe in your finances. Those are realities that are in your situation. It's not the eternal truth of God's word, and it's a circumstance that can change in a nanosecond. I've seen situations turn around in a nanosecond, and that's how God works. But you're going to have to make a decision to get in faith about your situation. And if you're married, I'll give you a tip. The Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. And it's going to help you to overcome if you sit down with your spouse and say, baby, this is our situation. We are not just the bottom of the barrel, we are under the barrel. You know, whatever your situation is. You talk to your spouse and you say, this is our situation. This is my situation in my body. This is your situation. This is our finances. This is our family. Whatever the situation is that you need God's answers to, God's promises to manifest in. Are you with me? You sit down with your spouse and you say, we have to make a decision. Are we going to continue to talk about how bad it is? Are we going to whine about those adult kids that aren't yet serving God, and we're just going to criticize them and talk about all the bad things they do? And, you know, the Bible's not the Bible, but there is a principle that I love aging, it's a glorious thing, but that many times you align yourself when you have a common enemy. Is that how it goes? What's that expression? That, you know, so sometimes I've heard older adults, their kids, they're now closer in their marriage because they gossip about their kids all the time. How unhealthy is that? You need to sit down with your spouse and intentionally decide you're going to get in faith over your children. You're not going to believe what you see. You're going to say out of your mouths, they will serve God. They will serve God. I'm saved and my household. They're part of my household. They're returning from the land of the enemy into their own borders. You get those verses down in you, and you bring your spouse into it, and you begin to say what God says. If it's a physical situation you need healing over, you get your spouse involved, or a close friend, someone that you can share with, and you say, catch me when I say otherwise, because I'm declaring with my mouth, I'm making a decision that I'm going to believe God's word. And this is something that you just don't make a casual decision about. You need to sit down and kind of count the cost. That means you're going to act different, right? Because faith without works is dead. Faith without corresponding actions is dead. It's null. It's of no effect. It's like saying, twinkle, twinkle, little star. If you're going to do this and do this for reals, not my kids say reels, if you're going to do this for real, and not just show up at church and speak Christianese, the only way you're going to have real answered prayer is if you really do it. Now, I know that we can all sound good at church. We all sound so good at church. We hit the campus. We quit arguing with our spouse. Praise the Lord. How are you? She's on your arm. You're looking so good. When you fought the whole way here. I mean, we've got to get real with some of this stuff. I think I have the gift of meddling on me tonight. But we have to get real with this stuff and make a quality. There was a man of God years ago, he used to say, make a quality decision about how we're going to handle some of these things in our life. And we need to think through how our actions need to be. Well, if I really believe this, then I'm going to still invite them to church because I believe that God's changing their heart and they want to come. Some of us have given up on some things because it's just been so long. If I really believe that I'm healed, I'm going to do some tenacious things with my flesh. Now, I'm not telling you what to do, but I had to make some decisions just in the last couple days over what I was going to do with my flesh. I was experiencing jet lag. I had a head cold. I wanted to whine and just wallow and let me take another nap. But I had a message to bring that God put in my heart. I'm telling you, you have to do some war with your flesh. And that's the next point. You have to declare war on your flesh and your situation. The Bible says that our flesh, our unredeemed flesh, see, we don't have our glorified bodies yet. Did you know that? You're a spirit. You're born of the Spirit of God. You're an eternal being that you're going to live one of two places. We'll get to that more a little bit later. But you're a spirit. You have a soul that your mind, your will, and your emotions, and you live in this fallen earth suit that's victim to gravity. That's what happens as you age. It all falls down. I've been working with salt too much. No. But anyway, it all falls. So your flesh still wants to do everything it used to like to do. I'm not telling you should, but when you backslide, you find out how fast all the dead nature resurrects. So your flesh won't want to do these things. Your flesh, the Bible says, your unredeemed flesh is at enmity with God. In other words, it's an enemy of God. You're walking around with the enemy. And you've got to see it that way, that in my heart of hearts, I want to believe God. In my heart of hearts, I want to do what God says. In my heart of hearts, I want to take this challenge that Pastor Sue is putting before me. But then you're going to have this flesh rise up and say, oh, really? I think you need another episode or two of Netflix right now. You know, your flesh is always going to want to take you to that bottom rung, that lower rung. And not that those things are sinful in and of themselves, but if you're led by the Spirit to go this way and your flesh rises up and tempts you to go that way and you obey the flesh, then you're a little less strong spiritually. Are you with me? So you have to declare war on your flesh and on your situation. and say, we're going to have God's results. We're going to have what God desires us to have because he said it, he's eternal. If I just plug in with him, it's going to happen. And I'm not going to get in the way of God fulfilling his promises in my life by my lack of faith. And then, as Pastor Dan taught us this morning, after you get these verses in you and you believe that you receive when you pray, then the rest of your prayer life is praise and thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving because you've received it. Amen? So when the devil tells you, where is it? I already have it in Jesus' name. My faith has substance. I've received God's word for my life. I've received his promise over this situation. Thank you, Father. You're so good. Thank you, Father. I receive all that you have for me. Thank you, Father. You're not a man that you can lie. Your word is true, and I believe you and not my circumstance, not what I'm even experiencing in my own body. Amen? Amen. Amen. So when Jesus returns, will he find you in faith, confessing you're a Christian, telling others about Jesus, and also using your faith in an interdependent walk with him, God and sons, God and daughters, doing the will of God. Did you get something tonight? Amen. Right now, we're going to have some announcements.
Hello, hello. All right. Praise God, Pastor Sue. That was amazing. Does anybody feel like their faith has been built up? Are you guys ready to stand on what God's word says, not what you feel? Can we give him one more great big shout of thanksgiving for what he's already done in our life? Amen. Well, we're going to continue in our worship by bringing our tithes and our offerings into the house of God today. That is what happened to our praise. We just got a little quiet in this house. Are you guys ready to bring your tithes and your offerings into the house of God today? See, by faith, we sow. Why? Because God says that he's already taking care of us and we got nothing to worry about. Why don't we stand to our feet? Because we're going to do a confession of our faith and we're going to believe God that this is going to be true in each and every one of our lives. So on the count of three, one, two, three, as we give in today's offering, we are believing the Lord for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritance, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, bills paid off, bills decrease, blessings and increase, generosity, increased capacity, new skills, witty inventions and ideas, wise investments. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs. Stop for a second. We just talked about faith, believing God's word. So what we're going to do right now, we got to declare that your word says is the next part. Speak this as if you believe it. I want to hear you over me on this mic, all right? One, two, three. Your word says you are able to make all grace abound towards me, that I'll always have all sufficiency in all things and have an abundance for every good work. I now give into the kingdom of God to promote the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you grateful for the promises of God in your life? So there's many different ways that you can give. If you are giving by cash or credit card and you would like a tax deductible receipt at the end of the year, you can raise your hand and an usher will get an envelope into your hand. You can fill that out, drop it in an offering bucket. Aren't you grateful to be in a country that allows us to write this off? Amen. So you can get that information. Also, there's text to give. There's the tap to give right there on the back of your your seat. You can do reoccurring giving, so many different easy ways to do it. And trust me, if you have not got involved in giving yet, you are doing nothing but robbing yourself right now. See, God wants to open up the windows and pour out a blessing so much that you cannot contain. But you got to step out in faith and believe what his word says, all right? So I'm going to pray over the offering real quick. If we could all pray together, if you're filling out a check or you're doing that, you can just be in agreement as we pray. But Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person today that's sowing into your kingdom, each and every person stepping out in faith and doing what your word says. And we are believing you today that we will never have to beg for bread. We will never have to worry about what we're going to eat or what we're going to wear, Lord God. We believe you as your word says, if you would not provide for the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, how much more will you take care of us? So we thank you, Heavenly Father, for providing for this house. We thank you for providing for each and every sower. We thank you for providing for the people of the Inland Empire and all over the world as we do what your word says and we sow into your kingdom looking for the Inland Empire to be saved. We just thank you and we love you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, as the ushers stand to their feet, I have a couple of quick announcements for you. December Night Lights begins tonight. So as you guys exit out, you're going to want to check it out. We have coffee set up out there. We got hot chocolate set up. I think it said 7:35, you will see a light show. So if you go out there, it's not shining yet, just wait till 7:35. The light show will go off. Hang out, make some friends, enjoy the light show. Next week, if you enjoy it, invite somebody coming to church with you next week and tell them about what God's doing here in this house and let them experience the light show as well. We have Dr. Baron Gilfillan back with us this coming Wednesday. He's going to bring a dynamic word. You're not going to want to miss it. So come on out Wednesday, 7 p.m. The Rock Bible College registration is open. Is there a tent outside, Pastor? There's no tent outside, but listen, you could go online. They have a QR code over here. You can apply online. If you've been thinking about it, stop thinking about it. Do it. All right, stop being lazy like Pastor Sue said. Man, we get a medal tonight, right? Stop being lazy and let's get involved in the Rock Bible College. You will be blessed as you dive into God's word. And then we have the Rock Winter Intensive coming up. Who is Jesus with Pastor Deborah Cobray? You are not gonna wanna miss it. I was so mad this morning. See, now I don't have my phone with me. I told my wife it came down too quick. I was trying to grab my phone because I wanted to register. But don't worry, I know someone. We'll make sure that I have a place. Well, you have a place. You better hurry up and sign up, and you will be blessed, all right? So listen, pay attention to the screens. We have a quick video announcement for you, and then Pastor Sue will be right back with you.
Hey, Rock Church family. It is the most wonderful time of year because it is Christmas time, and we want to celebrate this season with you.
Christmas weekend services will be taking place on Saturday, December 21st at 10 a.m., Sunday, December 22nd at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 1:30 p.m. in Spanish, and a special Christmas Eve candlelight communion service happening on Tuesday, December 24th at 5 p.m. Be sure to stop by the inner foyer to grab your invite cards to invite those in your life to join us for Christmas at The Rock. Merry Christmas.
One more video. Anyway, a few moments ago I was talking about that you're an eternal being, that you're a spirit. And should Jesus return tonight or you die for whatever reasons, by whatever causes, you would immediately be in one of two places, either in heaven or in hell. And that's a reality. More than even what we see, taste and feel right now, because the spiritual, the eternal, was here, and out of that God created what we see. So my question to you tonight is, if that were to happen, if Jesus were to return or you were to die, would you find yourself in heaven or would you find yourself in hell? You may say, well, I hope I'd go to heaven, you know, I'm a good person, but it's not based on what you do per se. It's based on what you believe, and we talked about that a lot tonight. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, that he rose from the grave? It's a matter of receiving him as your Lord and Savior. No amount of sin can keep you out of heaven, and no amount of goodness can get you into heaven. It's all because of Jesus and the blood of Jesus that he paid the price that you would not have to know one moment of hell. So our question to you is, if you answer that question, I think I'd go to heaven, I hope I'd go to heaven, then we want you to know that just by hoping, that's not going to happen. You need to actually make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. You can't get good enough for him. No amount of good works can make you good enough for heaven, because you actually have an incurable blood disease. Sin is within your very nature, and you need a new nature. The Bible says that when you're born again of God's Spirit, you have a new nature, born of God's Spirit. It's God's heaven. We have to get there God's way. And so you can't get good enough for God, but he can impart that goodness to you if you say yes and give him all of your heart and all of your life. There's an enemy of the world, the devil. He was an angel that was cast out of heaven, and hell was actually created for him and his angels. But if you don't accept that free gift to break that curse of sin over your life, then you'll go where his punishment is, because he's actually the God of this world system, the little g God, Lord of this world system. The course of the world is run by him and his evil. But when you make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, you're born again, you have a new nature, and you are then translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the kingdom of light. You have a new nature. You can walk with God. God becomes your heavenly Father. You know Jesus as your Lord, your best friend, and then eternally you'll be with him. When there's a new heaven and a new earth, won't that be an amazing day? You'll have a glorified body like I talked about earlier. I'm waiting for that. Anyway, right now, I'd like every head bowed and every eye closed. Just feel impressed to do it this way tonight. You might have come with a friend. Don't care about what your friend thinks. It's not up to them. This is an intentional decision that you need to make. You might say, I would be embarrassed to go forward, to raise my hand and then go forward and pray a prayer. But you're in good company. We've all been this way. And we're actually praying for you right now that you would make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. In a few minutes, I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to hit my hand on this podium. When I hit my hand on this podium, after I've counted to three, you can raise your hand. I'll see that. The Bible says if you confess me before others, that God will confess you as his child. So when I count to three and hit this podium, I want you to raise your hand, and I'll see that. You can put it right back down, and then we would love to pray a prayer with you and give you the opportunity to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. If you're listening online, you can do this in the comfort of your living room. So right now, if you've never made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, I'm talking to you. If you've maybe walked with him for a while, but backslid, and you came tonight, it's maybe the first time you've been in church in a long time, and you need to come back to him, I'm talking to you. If you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, I'm talking to you. Or if you maybe prayed a prayer but haven't walked in it, I'm talking to you. So I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. Raise your hand right now in this place. I'll see your hand. You can put it right back down, and then we'll all pray together. I'm looking. It's hard to see with these lights. Anyone, raise your hand that I'm not seeing. Please raise your hand right now, and we'll pray with you. Is that a hand? Yeah, I see that hand. Anyone else? Be bold. You can be bold in this house, then you'll have the strength to be bold out in the world. I see one hand. Anyone else? Looking again. Is that another hand there? I think so. Okay. Well, I see my one sister. Let's all stand at this time. And if you could come forward, sweetheart, and we'll pray with you. God has an amazing plan for your life.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide.
God bless you. Thank you for coming. We made a wise decision tonight. God bless you.
The precious blood of
Jesus. Thank you for coming.
Jesus Christ.
Now, you don't get saved by just coming forward. That was a bold move. And I hope your friend was coming of his own volition. Just moral support. Okay, there we go. We're all going to bow our heads, and we're going to pray with you. And we've all come this way. We want to help you to make this decision to pray this prayer and make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life because we love you. So let's all pray together with our sisters. Say, Dear Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus. Jesus, I now make you the Lord and Savior of my life. I turn from sin. I turn from living my own life. And I now live for you, Jesus. I renounce sin and every work of the devil. Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. God, you are my Heavenly Father. Fill me with your Spirit. And I thank you that I'll live for you every day of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Good girl, good girl. Just a minute. If you were a baby that we had at the hospital and we just left you in the nursery and said, fend for yourself, we wouldn't be very good parents, right? So we have something we want to put in your hands. We want to offer you a friend also, a spiritual personal trainer, someone that's going to help you get strong in the Lord. And so if you'd like to go with Pastor Joel, he's over our SPTs, and he'll help you. He'll bless you. Well, God bless you all. When Jesus returns, is he going to find faith? Say, he's going to find faith in my heart. Let me just bless you. Father, we just thank you and praise you for all that you're doing in our lives and our hearts tonight, Father. We just thank you that you have blessed us, that we are the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. Father, everything we put our hands to is blessed because you have blessed it, Father. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go with God. Enjoy the lights tonight and the hot chocolate out there and get some good fellowship.
And we all declare out loud and in faith that the heaven and fire shall be saved. Such a blessing hearing the word of God tonight. If there's anybody need a person to talk to, we have...
Hey, thank you so much for joining us online. If you just gave your heart to Jesus and prayed that salvation prayer with our pastor, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. Here at The Rock, we want to get you plugged in and set up for success as you start this new walk with God. In a moment, I'd like for you to head over to our Respond to God page by clicking the link provided in the comments where you can fill out your information so we can provide you with some free materials. We have a booklet called Welcome to Your Destiny, Easy Steps to a Successful Future with God. We'd love to mail you this paper copy if you are within the continental United States. If not, don't worry about it. We have an electronic copy in PDF format that we would be happy to email you. We also have a comic book we'd love to send out for any kids that have made a decision to follow Jesus. It helps explain their new walk with Jesus in a fun and age-friendly way. We not only want to provide you with these free materials, but if you live locally, we would also like to get you connected with a friend. A spiritual personal trainer, or as we like to call them, SPTs, who can help guide you through your new relationship with God. We encourage you to connect with the local church in your area. And if you are in the Inland Empire, remember, you're always welcome here at The Rock Church. Well, it was great hearing the Word of God with you guys today. We can't wait to see you at our next service. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.